Oh, hello again, it's me.
Just sat down, I've turned that on properly, haven't I? I'm not going to go up there, I hope that's okay. I'm afraid of heights. So I'm going to stay down here so I'm a bit nearer to you. So that's all right, that's brilliant. So, we're going to think about the calming of the storm. I just had a really surreal moment because I tend to read my Bible on my phone because it's less to carry, it's terrible really, but that's the truth of it. And I texted my wife when I got here and said, I hope you're okay. We're having quite a stressful time as a family at the moment, so I hope everything's okay with you. And she texted me back and she said, these were her words, all is calm. All is calm. Isn't that interesting, in that really, the calming of the storm? Who likes calm? I'm going to put both my hands up. Who likes stress? Well, no one. No, that's right there. Good. And it really is that straightforward, isn't it? And I just want to reflect on that a bit more. Hopefully this is going to work. There we go. And it all started with this picture. Started with this picture. This picture here. Would it be easier if I stand over there? Can everyone see if I'm stood here? Excellent. Okay. So it all started with this, well, you don't matter. That's right. So can you not see really?
I said, it doesn't matter.
So this is my son. My son in this picture is the rabbit, not the carrot. You've got to have standards, haven't you? On my 18th birthday, his 18th birthday, I should say that, hasten to add, they had a fancy dress costume party. And we got this photo frame, picture frame, sorry, I beg your pardon. And we said to people in their costumes, just pose in the picture frame and I will take their pictures. The really best advice I can give you if you don't like dressing up for fancy dress is to be the photographer. And that was my strategy at this particular party. So I took the pictures, and I was editing out this picture the next day. And I was just, all I said to them, there was no staging or framing. It was just get in the frame and act naturally. Now, if you were a giant carrot and you saw this rabbit coming towards you, and look at the teeth on that rabbit there, you would be absolutely terrified, wouldn't you? So it's a very natural thing. And I'm looking at this picture, and I'm editing the picture on my computer, and I'm thinking, do you know, sometimes life is like that, isn't it? So for me, this is my worst fear. My worst fear. Oh, well, that's coming out. Oh, very well. I can't even look at it very long. And I was being a bit silly about that, but I genuinely am. You've never seen me up a ladder more than one story. Honestly, it really, for me, it starts jelly knees and all sorts. I'm really not good with heights. For some people, it's spiders, creepy crawlies. Can't stand that. That's what I'm afraid of. For some people, it's the fear that your dad's going to come along and pick you up and feed you to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's probably quite a rare fear, that one. But that's my other daughter. And I said, come on, pose for this picture. And it's really funny. She actually got quite into it. And you can't quite see it so well on there. She actually did go, ooh! That was funny. But sometimes in life, we feel like this, don't we? We have these moments where it's absolutely help. It's all going wrong around me. Everything is stressful. Everything is overload. Everything is too much. What am I going to do? So let me ask you a question. Would you go on a boat trip with Jesus? Yeah? 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 Everyone's going on a boat trip with you. Have you read your Bibles? Yeah. Yeah? Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it? Because I don't know you, any time Jesus took his disciples on a boat trip, there was always a storm. There were no sheds, just to make it, no sheds. Don't get a shed on a boat. Well, you probably can actually, can't you? There was a storm, there was chaos. So Jesus is like, let's go on a boat trip. And lots of his disciples were fishermen. And so we're like, oh yeah, brilliant, boat trip. We do boats, we know boats. And we followed Jesus around and not had a clue what was going on as he heals people who are sick and he raises the dead. He does all these things. It's like, we don't understand trying to keep up with Jesus. And then he says, let's get in the boat. And they're like, brilliant, we know boats. We do boats. Come in the boat, Jesus. And you can always imagine this relationship flipping round. They follow Jesus into the things that are beyond them. And they trust in him. And he says, let's get in a boat. And you can imagine them saying, no, Jesus, you don't get into a boat like that. You get into a boat like this. Jesus, you sit over there because we've got to put the sail up and we don't want you to get in the way. Jesus, it's okay. We do boats. We'll sail the boat. You have a rest, Jesus. It's okay. And you can almost imagine this relationship changing as Jesus the Lord becomes Jesus the passenger. Does that make sense to you? And it's natural, isn't it? If you have an area of expertise, you will often take over in a situation. Jesus the passenger. And they go along and they go out into the storm and things change, don't they? And they end up with this squall, with this furious squall as we read about in our Bible reading. Jesus leads them into a storm. I don't know how that makes you feel. Jesus says to his disciples, let's go in a boat and let's cross to the other side. So there's some encouragement in what Jesus is saying, because he's saying we aren't going to make it to the other side. But he leads them into a storm. Does that sound like Jesus? Some of you are shaking your head. It doesn't, does it? But it is. At Orchard Baptist Church a few years ago, we decided not to have a sermon one Sunday. Imagine that. Was it proper church? Hope so. And we said, we're not going to have a sermon. We're all going to read Mark's Gospel. And then instead of a sermon, we're all going to say what we thought of it. And the most common word that people used, having read the whole of the Gospel in one go, not just picking out our favourite bits, was shocked. Jesus shocked me. Because all of a sudden you realise, gosh, Jesus sometimes, not all the time, sometimes he does lead us into storms. Sometimes he's going to heal someone who's blind and he spits in some mud and puts it on their eye. Now, if I'm a church leader at a prayer meeting and someone starts spitting on people, that's not good, is it? That's terrible. Jesus does things that are very unusual and we gloss over those bits. Have we made Jesus, the Lord, Jesus the passenger? Does Jesus come to our church? Well, he's here already, we know that, right? Does he come to our church and we say, it's okay, Jesus, we know church, we do church. We're church experts. We've been doing it a long time, some of us. Just sit in the corner. We'll let you know when we need you. And you know, I'm ashamed to say that church can often be like that. We worship him on a Sunday and we fix our eyes on him. And we come to church meetings and we discuss what colour the baptismal towel should be. And we get all het up about it. Instead of saying, well, actually, Jesus, it's your church. You ought to choose the colour too. You're the boss and we follow you. So Jesus leads his disciples into a storm. I don't know if you've ever had one of those PPI phone calls. Have you been missold PPI? Are you fed up with them now? Do anyone get any money from them? Oh, talk to me at the end and I'll. It's good to share. That's brilliant. Good for you. I wonder, I'm thinking of setting up a Christian version of it. I'm thinking of ringing around every Christian in the UK and saying, will you missold Christianity? I can't get you any money back. But I think one of the problems a lot of us have is we are missold Christianity. And when we get in a boat with Jesus, we expect it to be sunny. And we expect it to be plain sailing. We expect someone to bring refreshments around halfway through. And we expect people to be, we expect them to be happy, because that's the Christianity we were sold. And the reality is sometimes Jesus leads us into a storm. And this dawned on me particularly several years ago when I was in a particular situation. And my prayer was this. I apologise if this offends you. This is just what my prayer to God was. It was a private prayer. But my prayer to God was, God, why do you hate me so much that you would let this happen to me? It was horrible, the situation. God, why do you hate me? And that prayer was born out of misunderstanding what Christianity is. Jesus never says, come and follow me, and we'll get deck chairs on the beach. That might be part of Christianity. Jesus leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He does all that stuff. But sometimes he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes he leads us into a storm. But the beauty of Jesus leading us into a storm is that he's with us. He's with us. Someone once said it's handy that Jesus was in the boat, wasn't it? And actually it's the other way around, isn't it? It's the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. We think about God with us, but it's actually we're with him, aren't we? The disciples were overwhelmed while Jesus is asleep. The disciples completely overwhelmed, completely don't know what to do. In this situation where they know best, where they're have their area of expertise, and they're absolutely terrified. Jesus is asleep. Astonishing. Astonishing. I love the opportunity to pray. As a family, over the past fortnight probably, we've probably been under the most pressure that we've ever been under as a family. We've had all sorts of things going wrong. And I turned up here this morning, And Steve said, you can come and pray with us if you like. It's nice, isn't it? I'm allowed to pray, that's brilliant. And I just sat and we were praying. And all of a sudden, now my circumstances haven't changed. Nothing's been fixed, other than my wife texted me to say all is calm, which actually is significant in our situation, because it might not be with one of my children. But as we pray, you gain a different perspective. Jesus is asleep in a storm. It's astonishing, isn't it? It's astonishing. How do you sleep in the midst of this chaos and everything going on around you? Well, let me ask you a different question. In which of these pictures is peace found? In case you can't see this one here very well, there's a London Underground tubes platform that's absolutely packed. And then we've got the traffic jam and the girl crying and lovely mountain scenery. Someone sat by the fire. And a lovely angelic little girl. There we are. Anyone? But which picture is peace found in? Top right hand side, sitting looking at the beautiful view. There's peace found when you got up there and got your breath back. But absolutely, I know. If you got a ghetto and a cable car, that's good. Anyone else? Thank you for that. Sorry? All three of the top ones are peace, yeah? Anyone else? Lovely. In all of them? Okay, so you could find peace in all of them. So it's been interesting the way I've lined them up for you. So in the middle there is this recorded, Steve?
It is.
That's fine, it's not a problem. In the top picture there is Summer. That's my daughter, she's now 13, she's autistic. And she is causing us all kinds of problems. And it's not her, she's autistic, she brings issues. I'm not gonna say any more about that because it's being recorded. And it's interesting that although I've deliberately set out the happy situations at the top and the stressful situations at the bottom, I look at that and I'd forgotten, I changed this picture and really caught me by surprise where I was preaching last week and I actually started crying, things are that bad. And we do appreciate your prayers for that. But God is at work in it. And she's beautiful, isn't she? Look at it. And I look at that picture and I think God loves her so much. And that's my prayer for her, that she would know that. But the truth is that peace can be found in every single one of these pictures. The Bible says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is bonkers. It's completely upside down. In the kingdom of God, you can sleep in a storm. Makes absolutely no sense, does it? You want to be up putting your life jacket on, don't you? In the kingdom of God, we can find peace in amongst stress. Peace in a situation where it's all going wrong. And that was my experience coming to pray with those of you who were here this morning earlier. What a privilege to meet and pray, to have time for God together. As we together meet with him, we can find peace. And in whatever you're going through, the peace of God that passes all understanding can guard your heart. That's brilliant. When I think of that, I think of those like nightclub bouncers. Your name's not down, you're not coming in. You're not getting past me. Like the two Rons, do you remember them? Oh, you were too busy reading your Bibles, and you don't know what I'm talking about. And they were like, you're not getting past me. And it's almost like this stress. And it's like the peace of God saying, you're not coming in, stress. We can receive peace, but it's a gift. It's a gift. So Jesus leads them into the storm. He has peace in this storm. The disciples, I always used to criticize the disciples for this. They say, don't you care that we're going to drown? If I was Jesus, I'd say, who do you think you are talking to me like that? You've followed me for these past few years, and you really think I don't care? Can you get a grip, please? That's not how Jesus responds, is it? They pray to Jesus. They don't know they're praying, they're just panicking, really. But they cry out to him. And that leaves me with a challenging question. Who do we call on? Who are you going to call? It was a leading question, and no one responded, well done. Who are we calling? Who are you going to call? And when the chips are down, often we rely on ourselves. And Jesus is in the boat. He's not in the boat with us, we're in the boat with him. Who are you going to call? I can cope, I'm British. I'm amazing. We British people, we're amazing. We're the envy of Europe. Wonderful. We don't need anyone. Look at us go. Who are we going to care? We're so independent. It's so ingrained in who we are in our culture. And that makes Christianity a struggle for lots of us. Because Christianity involves letting go and trusting Jesus, letting him lead us through. We say it's God. And again, coming back to churches, I'm amazed how soon we take our eyes off Jesus. And I hear churches say things like, oh, we can never do it, we're too small. I remember going to a church once and they said to me, no one ever becomes Christians here. The area is too dark spiritually. And I just wanted to grab this person and shake them, spiritually, of course. I don't want to really. I just want to say, what kind of God are you worshipping? Now, for them to say, actually, we've not seen a Christian, someone become a Christian for 1,000 years, I don't mind that. That's a reality. But to end up giving glory to the devil and saying we can't do it is ridiculous, isn't it? God can do it. And how do we align ourselves with him? How do we join with him? How do we move forward? How do we look to Jesus again? How do we come back to the Gospels and read them and say, I want my faith to look like that. I don't want it to be like this consumer thing that we've created where we go to church and we get all fed up. Fed up, that came out wrong, didn't it? We get all fed spiritually and then God blesses us and we feel nice and we go home. I want to find this Jesus, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of people again. And it might involve going into a storm. Hopefully it won't, but it might. But I will follow Jesus, whatever he's doing, however he's leading me. And I think in some ways we've strayed so far from God. And I think the most prominent example of that is the way that we've learned to put resources in front of God. So the first question that often gets asked in a church is, can we afford it? That's actually a good question. But in biblical times, Jesus said to his 12, I'm sending you out. And they're like, oh, brilliant, because I've got a bit of cash, and I've got my Tesco club card, so I could use the points to buy some food, or whatever the equivalent was. And Jesus said, actually, just hand it all in, because you're not allowed to take anything. I send you out with nothing. Because when you go out with nothing, you have to depend on Jesus. And do you see what we've lost? I'd have been so angry. Can you imagine you're one of Jesus' disciples? Can you imagine, Steve, you come next Saturday and Steve says we're going to have a day of evangelism. And he starts collecting up your wallets and your phones. That's the way to get sacked, by the way. Can you imagine? It's just like, this is madness. But this is what Jesus does. And he sends his disciples out with nothing. He sends them out to depend on him, to trust in him. Will we follow Jesus even when we don't have the resources? Will we follow Jesus even when it costs us? Challenging, isn't it? I want to look at this picture for a moment. And this is somewhat an artist's impression of the calming of the storm. I want you to think about who you relate to in the picture. So you can't see very well. This person here, if you can't see at the back, is bailing out water. And there's someone here with a sail. I'm not quite sure what he's doing. I think he's fiddling around with a bit of rope. So who do you relate to in this moment? Who do you most think, oh, I'm a bit like that at the moment? Anyone? Trying to get the sail up. Let's get underway. Let's get out of this situation, yeah? Anyone else? No, he's not steering. I think that is an oar, or I don't know what that is. But he's not hanging on to it, is he? He's looking at Jesus. Yeah.
You're trying to steer.
Trying to steer the way out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Sorry?
Bailing out's a good idea.
Bailing out's a good idea if you're going to sink, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, okay, yeah. Anyone else?
I'm thinking that the storm's gone. You've got to start rowing.
Oh, that storm's gone. You can start rowing. Got to get out of there. I think this picture is absolutely brilliant. I love this picture. And I think what you'll notice about it is the nearer you are to Jesus, the more at peace you are. You notice that the people near to Jesus are looking to him. They're living in the calm. The people at this end are faffing about trying to fix the storm when it's gone. When it's gone. Now, if you're in a storm, bailing is good. You're putting that the sail is good, but when the storm has gone, when Jesus said, peace be still, and it's happened, that's the time to think, hallelujah. And we don't have to be like, don't panic, Mr. Mannering. We've gone past that. This is calm, this is still. The thing I love the most about this picture is I was doing a school assembly based on some of this. And in the secondary school I was in, that you have to go in 3 days in a row, which is a bit of a pain if you don't like early mornings. Imagine that. And I did two assemblies. And on the evening, I got a phone call. And I thought, this is really bad. I never get a phone call from the school. I'm being thrown out. What did I do? Oh, no, oh, no. And they rang me up and said, we just wanted to let you know that Ofsted's coming in tomorrow. And so I did an assembly, which is sharing. Oh, Lorinda's having a breakdown over there already. I'm sharing some of this stuff. And I'm putting up this picture. And who do you relate to? Thinking about, where's the peace in life? I've never had so many teachers come up to me at the end and say, that was a really helpful assembly, as they faced a day with Ofsted. And we're saying to them, God can be your peace in the storms of life. I decided a few years ago that this evangelism thing wasn't about knocking on doors or preaching on street corners. That's okay if you want to do that. I decided it was about just being honest about what God is up to with the people we meet. And so I make it my mission, my aim, my intention, when I meet people who aren't Christians, is just to try and talk to them about God if I can. I don't force it if I can. The thing I talk to non-Christians the most about is this. Not the picture, because I don't carry it around with me, but it's this. I'm so sorry to hear you're stressed, and I'll be praying for you. It reminds me of something that Jesus said. There was a big storm, everyone was panicking, and Jesus said, peace be still. And I want you to hear that from him now. And it's amazing. I've never, in 3 or 4 years of just doing this, just something like that. It's not a script, it's just words to that effect. Never had anyone be upset with me. I've had so many people say thank you. I've had people cry. God wants to give me the gift of peace. That's not going to save them, is it? But what a wonderful stepping stone towards a relationship with God. Who is this man? Who is this Jesus we've come to worship? What is going on? Who do we think he is? I love the picture of Jesus as the Lion of Judah, this mighty God who can do amazing things, the mighty God who the earth shakes and all that sort of brilliant. But God is also the Lamb that was slain, that he gave his life for us. And this is the same God who says, peace be still. We imagine him saying, peace, bit Moses-like, peace, or Gandalf-like, if you like that, peace be still, authority. But I often imagine it was actually more of a whisper. Jesus is saying, I don't have to compete with you, storm, just peace, peace, be still. This isn't an argument, I'm God. And I love the way that you can have authority in humility and stillness. Who do we think Jesus is? I think the problem is that most of us think Jesus is like this, a vending machine. We come to God to push his buttons to get what we want. And maybe once again realise that actually Jesus is a lion and a lamb and he loves us so much. Many years ago I was walking with my daughters in the wood. My wife was ill with ME at the time and we'd had a day out to give her some rest. And we were walking back towards the car, and as we walked back towards the car, my daughter took me my hand in her hand at the end of the day, and I thought, oh, this is brilliant. But we were struggling as a family then, not so much as now. And it was just, she looked into my eyes, and I looked at her, and I was waiting for the thanks for a nice day out, or Dad, I love you. If it was a movie, the birds would have started tweeting and flying around us, and the orchestra would have started playing. It was a beautiful moment. And she looked into my eyes, and I was waiting for these lovely words, and she said to me, Dad, are there any chocolate biscuits left? And I was driving home and I was really frustrated about this. And I really believe that God said to me, Graham, it feels like sometimes that's how you talk to me. You come to me when you want the goods. You come to me when you need something. And wouldn't it be great if we could just share a moment outside of a Sunday where you say that you love me? So who are we going to be? We've had a whole random lot of thoughts there about God leading us and will we follow him. This is about who we're becoming, and this is the end now, don't worry. Oh, there was more nervous laughter. That's not a preacher's this is the end and it's going to finish about half an hour. This is like the end. There's this bit and a video and then go home. Who is the potter? In Isaiah 29 it says, you turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. We come to God and say, this is how we think you should act. We come to you in prayer as your special advisors, God, and you're lucky to have us. Rather than coming to God and saying, God, would you shape us that we might become the people who you call us to be? And as we watch this video now, just in finishing, there's a video of some artwork being restored. I want you to look at this artwork. It's not Japanese. It's not Japanese artwork. It's not that clever. But as you look at this artwork being restored, I want you to look at this and think that this is your life. And think about God shaping us and mending us and restoring us. So here we go.
Create in me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a miracle. Something real and something beautiful. Create.